Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with a valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
Talk Radio with me, your host, Deb Wolf, as usual, coming to you live from Camp Good Dog. That's right, up near Vancouver, BC, where we right now have 9 new standard poodle puppies born June 1st. So if you want to check us out on Facebook, Camp Good Dog, you can see their cute little red and apricot faces. They're adorable, playing and all that sort of stuff. And they're getting ready to go to their new home. So it's exciting times here at Camp Good Dog. Plus, we're full of boarding dogs. It's a really good time of year for me, really busy. Today, we're going to be talking to Stacy Mantle, because for her, this is a really busy time of year. Welcome to the show, Stacy.
It has been busy. We just got back from Super Zoo.
Okay. Well, I can hardly hear you, Stace. I know you just got back from Super Zoo. Is that right?
That is true. Can you hear me now? Is that a little bit better? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, much better. Okay, so you just got back from Super Zoo, right? Can you tell us a little bit about how that was?
You know, we had just a wonderful time and saw so many amazing products. And I know you like the crazy products, so let me start with a couple of funny things that we ran across.
Well, the weird stuff. What have you got for pets that's weird at Super Zoo? Because Super Zoo is like a big fair for people in the industry to show off what's new, what you never seen before, what's really cool stuff, and some really, really stupid stuff sometimes, too. So let's hear it, Stacey.
On occasion. Well, this, I think, has some benefits, but it's going to take a really big paradigm shift to get people to use it.
Uh-oh.
It's called Doggy Dental Aid, and it's dog dental floss, essentially. And, I mean, I know that most people, we have a hard enough time even just brushing our pet's teeth and getting the dental care that they require. So I think dog flossing is a little ahead of its time, but it is an interesting little concept that he's developed.
Do they even dare try it on a cat or no? Is that just out of the question?
Oh, boy. Honestly, I'm not sure I'd want to try it on my dog, let alone on my cats.
And if they made it for horses, I bet it'd be like a piece of string or something, a rope.
It's actually a tool that it has a little jewel on it, which is kind of cute. But you create the tension. It's shaped like a V, and you would wrap the dental floss around it and connect it to this little jewel at the bottom, and then you can control the tension on it. And actually, I think it'd be a good way to floss your own teeth. So maybe it has more ability to work in the human industry. But yeah,
put
it in their mouth.
You know, good old fashioned bones, cattle bones, big old beef bones, venison bones. Isn't that the way to go? I don't know.
I don't know if I want to floss my five dogs' teeth.
That's a lot of work. That's just a lot of
work.
It
is a lot of work. And I say, most people can't even floss their own teeth. So I'm pretty sure they're not going to be flossing their dogs and cats' teeth. But
Own twice a day. All your kids have to be policed when it comes to this. Now you want to add in all my pets. I can just imagine trying to get the cat to agree to this. Okay, so that's an interesting one. You're right. Paradigm shift is right. Okay, what's the next one there? What else have you got?
Well, the next fun thing that we have is, you remember that whole cat bearding meme? I don't know if you saw it on all the Facebook and Twitter and all the social networks. And it's basically people holding their pets up to their mouth, essentially, and making a beard kind of thing. And it's called cat bearding. So anyway, we have, you know, Duck Dynasty, the big Duck Dynasty reality TV show, which is hugely popular. Mm-hmm. Their Quaker Pet Group has an entire line of products coming out that are focused on beards and hat bands that go around your dog's head. And they're really cute. It's going to be a fun Christmas thing, and I'm sure it's or a Halloween thing, and it'll be a fun thing to do photos and take it off your pet. But, I mean, essentially they're just beards that go on your dog, and they're cute. I mean, they just attach like they would with any costume. So that was kind of fun. And then they have Duck Call toys coming out and a whole line of products based on Duck Dynasty. So that'll be neat.
What have they got for cats at Super Zoo this year?
Oh, cats. We have so many neat things coming up for cats. Now, another fun one from QPG, Quaker Pet Group, it's from their Super Cat line of products. And we have the micro-encapsulated catnip that you can spray onto certain areas and redirect, like, negative behavior. So if you want your cat to use a scratching post more than you want them to use your cat or your couch, you would spray,
mm-hmm. spray this
on
there. Instead of a deterrent, it's an attractant. That's a good idea.
Exactly. And they also have a pop-up book, which is really cute. And they can hold – it literally opens up just like a book, and it pops up into a little city. It's called the got to remember the name. I think it's the city – the kitty city. And you can just hang little toys, and it's a really cute way for your kids to interact with your cats. And
it's
fun for both
of
them.
You know, the costumes are too, I got to say. Like my daughter, she has this way about her with cats, and she'll just go dress one up for a minute or two and then mosey on to something else. And over time, all the cats get used to being dressed up by her and will put up with anything because it's just a little bit, you know. She never does it too often or too much, and it's good for her. It's good for them. So I don't think dress up is so bad, although I don't tend to dress up my animals and take them out places, you know. And I kind of wonder when I see the people who do. Don't you? Don't you wonder, haven't you got anything better to do?
Well, it's funny that you mentioned dressing cats up because there is a really fun vest out. It's called the Sturdy Products. It makes it, and it's a walking vest for cats. And if if you ever take your cat out on a harness or anything, you know how hard it is to keep them in a harness. You can't take them out on a leash with a collar. I do take my cats out. Two of my cats like to walk outside, but I don't let them out on their own. So this walking vest is really, really innovative. It covers their body so they can't just kind of jump out of it. And it's just called a walking vest from Sturdy Products. And I really fell in love with this.
That makes sense.
They've had it on. Really handy, great for veterinary appointments and things like that where you need a little more control.
What do you do when you're out walking your cats, okay? Like, I'm trying to picture this. You're out for a walk with a cat or two on a leash with this thing so that fits well and they can't escape. Now, what happens if a scrum of dogs come along? What's your plan?
Oh, they would have to go through me to get to the cat. I mean, my immediate reaction would be to pick them up and get them away from the dog. I've never had that problem. I think dogs are a little shocked to see a cat walking down the street with a leash on for some reason. And
really? That just stuns them right there? Because I've had situations 20 years ago when I was a dog walker where I would come across this and I'd have my group, you know, and I'd be like, oh, no. But we managed to avoid, deter, never quite got the chase going, and I was glad for that. But I always wondered what the cat people were thinking they would do if it happened, because I do think you'd get quite badly scratched. And, you know, you don't want to let your cat escape, but on the other hand, you'd rather it escape and survive up a tree than be stuck with you being mauled on top of you in a scrum of dogs.
Absolutely.
So it's a tough decision.
Absolutely.
You know, and a lot
and
of times,
it can be very dangerous.
Oh, we only have 30 seconds left, Stacey. Okay, well, we'll come back to you next week and talk again on All Paws Pet Talk. But can you tell me one more thing? It's smart animal talk, so something smart.
Okay. Awesome mosquito bandana and mosquito insect wear to keep mosquitoes and other bugs off your dog while you're walking. So I think you're going to really like that. It's from Doggles. They've come out with an entire line of bug repellent wear that you can put on your dog. And there's some available
for
people,
too. Yeah, that's great, especially for some parts of the world where it's just swarming, places like Winnipeg, places where there's just so many mosquitoes. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, thank you so much, Stacey. We'll tune in with you next week. I hope you can tell us more about the Super Zoo stuff and some more from PetsWeekly.com. Thank you, Stacey Mantle.
Thank you.
All right, everybody, stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk.
Anytime you're near. Thank you. Hey, pet lovers, please listen up. I want to introduce to you Nature's Logic, the most natural full-line pet food ever made. And here's why. Nature's Logic is made with a variety of high-quality proteins, such as beef, chicken, lamb, and venison. You will never find any synthetic vitamins, minerals, or anything else synthetic in Nature's Logic. Only real nutritional foods, such as dried blueberries, apples, carrots, cranberries, spinach, and almonds. Foods loaded with natural vitamins and minerals, as made by nature, not a chemist. Nature's Logic is committed to providing the highest quality and safest nutrition for the furry members of your family. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit the Nature's Logic website at natureslogic.com and find a store near you. Nature's Logic can be found in many independent stores throughout Colorado, New Mexico, and Wyoming. So, do your pets a favor and start feeding them Nature's Logic and treat them to the very best. Nature's Logic is truly 100% natural, the way pet foods should be.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Pet Talk Radio with Deb Wolf, and I've got with me now John Palomino, but I want to call him Palomino because you know why, because that's a beautiful peanut butter color and cream horse, like the horse that Zena rode in that great series. All right, so John Palomino, welcome to the show. I know you're representing Finding Rover. What's that all about, John?
Oh, well, first of all, Deb, thank you for having me on the show. Well, Finding Rover is a new app for the iPhone that identifies lost dogs using facial recognition technology that we've developed. So now all you do is you register for the app. It's all free. You take a picture of your dog. You register it. Anybody with the app that finds your dog that is lost takes a picture, instantly identifies them or her, and can call you.
Really? I'm trying to figure out how one golden retriever or another would look so different. People can't even recognize the difference when they look at pictures.
That's the amazing thing. It's the amazing thing about the technology. We worked on it for over a year to develop the facial recognition for dogs. It's been around quite a while, about 17 years or so for humans. But dogs are much more complicated, like you said. You know, they look so much alike. But after 1 year of working and research and so forth, we did it to where now we can actually identify one German Shepherd in 100 with 98% accuracy.
Oh, that's pretty amazing. Now, there's a little color variation in German Shepherds, so you've got a little bit of a help there, but I can't, like my, I have two standard poodles, a father and son, and even though I can tell them apart two fields away, I can just look in the distance, and by the way they stand, one's 11 and one's 3, so the difference is clear to me. Other people, I have to trim one with a mustache and one with a shaved face, or nobody can tell them apart. So that your computer can do this is pretty amazing.
Yeah, it really is. It's amazing because it's the actual algorithms and the technology really doesn't know it's a dog. It basically looks at certain mathematical features. There's about 58 points that we look at in the dog's face. And from that, it does a statistical analysis, and it's amazing. It's like magic. When we show it to people for the first time, they're amazed.
So how many people are doing this now? How many people are like, if I lost my dog and I was registered, how many people would be able to help me?
Well, we just launched the week before last. It just came out, and it's all free. And in the first week, we made Apple's top 100 app list in lifestyle. So to date, I think in the first week and a half, we have over 10,000 dogs registered, which is amazing. I mean, it's mind-boggling how people are just, you know, taking to the app and loving what we're doing, because it's all, you know, it's all about us as a community taking care of each other's pets.
What made you decide to do this? Did you lose your dog?
Yeah, it started about actually 3 years ago. My wife and I were sitting in a coffee shop, and there was a bulletin board, and there was a poster of a few lost dogs, and it just brought back these memories of this dog we had lost, and driving around the neighborhood with our kids in the back seat crying, putting up posters. I mean,
I know that.
It brought all that back, and it just kind of triggered my thought. I said, you know, there must be a better way, because we've got great technology. We have chips, which we recommend everybody does. I mean, I recommend you do anything you can to protect your dog. Send smoke signals, anything. But I just thought, God, with all this technology, there must be something we can do. And it kind of popped in my head, and I thought, wow, well, if we can do facial recognition for people, why not animals? So that's how it started. I contacted three of the major facial recognition companies in the world and told them what I wanted to do, and they all said the same thing you did. Oh, dogs are pretty tough. Animals are a lot harder than people. So they basically said thanks or
but
no thanks.
But it turned out they weren't. That's really interesting.
Well, we actually partnered up with the University of Utah. These incredible scientists at the University of Utah took on the project, and so my wife and I funded the research for 1 year, not knowing if it was going to work or not work. We took a gamble on it, and a year later, we developed this amazing technology that we can identify pets instantly.
You know,
and it's all free.
This is like an understated problem. You know, people think if their dog has a microchip, it'll come home to them if it's lost. Well, not every place scans for microchips. People think if it has their phone number on the tag, it'll come home. Well, sometimes the number's out of date or the tag falls off. People think if it has a tattoo in the ear, it'll be traced. A lot of people won't look for that. The tattoo can change shape or get hairy over time and be invisible. And so, you know, a lot of these things backfire. But I've had a situation where it was years ago, and a customer of mine lost their dog, and it was a Bichon Frise, a completely purebred, white, fluffy Bichon Frise. But the dog obviously escaped and went through the ringer. I don't know what. But when it showed up at the SPCA, it was no longer white. It was stained and dark and mucky. And when I called around for this little old lady to try and find her dog, they told me, no, the only little dog they had in there was a little black poodle cross. And I thought, you know what, I'll just go by and check. And sure enough, after a bath or two, it was the white, fluffy Bichon Frise. You know, and maybe I spoke to a volunteer, or maybe they hadn't gotten around to cleaning it yet. But so many mistakes are made with dogs. So many dogs are misidentified in all kinds of situations, like when there's attacks, when the breeds are misidentified. People are clueless, you know, so this really makes sense to me.
Well, thank you. Well, exactly what you're saying. You know, we wish that everybody that finds a dog would put it in their car, take it home, take it to a vet, see if it has a chip. But the reality is most people don't do that. We wish they would, but most don't. You find a big dog in a park, you know, most people are afraid to put it in their car, take it home, take it to a vet. Well, now we're saying, really, there's no excuse. All you got to do is take a picture. There's nothing more to do than just take the picture, and it'll identify that dog if it's registered. And
you don't even have to catch it. You don't even have to figure out Where it, see, its tags are worry about putting it in your car. Is it going to pee in the car? Does it like children? My children are in the car. You know, like, you can't always do the good thing when you've got other responsibilities, right? Or do you pull out in traffic? But if I were to tell somebody, hey, your dog is in this park, the owner shows up, the dog's going to come to them. It's not the same as me trying to catch it. So that makes so much sense.
Exactly. And then the other, you know, one of the toughest things, this is a funny little anecdote, one of the toughest things was getting dogs to look at the camera, you know, trying to get a dog to look at the camera to take a picture. Well, what we did is we invented
squeaky
a bark
toy.
Button in the
you
app.
Have to have a squeaky toy above the camera.
Right, but that, well, now what we've done is in our function, so when you go to take the picture in the app, there's a little button called the bark button. And when you hit that, it starts squealing like a puppy. Dogs look straight at the camera, and you take the picture instantly. So you don't have to carry it. It's all built into the app.
Yeah,
it has
that
a
makes sense.
Bark button built in. Yeah.
You know what? I have little tricks on my cell phone like that. My cell phone whistles and barks and meows, and so I can get their attention when I want to take the picture.
Well, that's what we did. So we put the bark button in there.
Yeah. So, okay, I want to know about cats, though. Because what, as bad as we're talking about this problem of dogs going missing or lost just because they get misidentified and nobody can find the right dog and the right owner, and it's especially true after natural disasters like Katrina where everybody's kind of relocated, but cats, even more so, try and find a cat that looks like yours. You'll find 1,000 cats that look like yours. Can this thing do that for cats, or are you working on that? Is that next year?
Well, actually, it's coming up. We've actually developed the software. We have findingkitty.com coming up. We wanted to start with dogs, but the actual software for cat works as well, if not better, than dogs. We can't get it not to identify a cat. That's amazing. But we're gonna probably launch that in about 3 to 4 months.
Okay, now that is really mind-blowing for me because I have more trouble identifying cats than I do dogs, especially when, you know, you've got your internet page and you're going down, scrolling down, looking at all these tiny pictures of all these cats that have been rescued and you've got your page in front of you of the cats that have gone missing and you're trying to correlate. There's so many black cats that look exactly the same, for example, or, you know, gray tabbies with white paws, or like there's a cat on TV right now that is a dead ringer for one of mine. You know, it's actually there's more than one on TV. So how is this even possible? How does it
Again, remember, it doesn't know it's a cat and it doesn't know it's a dog. It uses mathematical, you know, mathematical distances and just some really complicated, you know, software to do it. And we take about 58 points on the cat's face. It's a statistical. It does a statistical analysis, and it's just amazing how it works. I just give all the credit to these wonderful scientists at the University of Utah that have created this.
Okay, well, I'm sorry, but we're running out of time. This was so interesting, John. Where can they get Finding Rover?
Oh, thank you so much. Just go to the Apple App Store under iPhone app, and it's just Finding Rover, or you can also check it out on findingrover.com, and it'll be coming out in Android version in about 90 days.
Nice, and then Finding Kitty later on. Well, thank you so much, John. It was a pleasure.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. Thank you.
Okay, everybody, stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. We'll be back with Dr. Carol.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
And
you know that.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Get in on the fun and the rewards of caring for animals as a professional. Train to be a pet groomer or a veterinary assistant at the Florida Institute of Animal Arts. Turn your love for animals into a lifelong career. There are thousands of jobs in the growing professions of pet groomer and veterinary assistant. We help place graduates. Ask about tuition financing. The Florida Institute of Animal Arts, Winter Park, 407-869-PETS. On the web at myfiaa.com.
Oh!
and my regular guest, Dr. Carol Osborne. Welcome to the show, Dr. Carol.
Well, thank you, Deborah. I'm delighted to join you.
Yes. Well, let's talk about the heat. Where I live, we've had the first time ever since they've been keeping track, we had an entire month, it's never happened before, with no rain. It's been beautiful. It's been beautiful. But I know people are doing stupid things. I was at the beach yesterday on Monday, and I got really upset with this woman who brought this teacup Yorkie down to this beach that you have to hike way down through the forest past, you know, coyotes and wolves and all. Okay, fair enough. She's with them. But she brings him down, leaving him all over the place as they go down. And I'm thinking, this dog could go missing like that. He's the size of a mouse. Okay, she gets all the way down there. And I see her at one point. First of all, she has no shade for him. He keeps trying to crawl under her body, and she keeps getting mad at him and shooing him away because he wants the shade. And the last straw before I went up and actually spoke to her and told her, look, he needs shade and he needs water, and you got to get him out of here, was I saw her give him beer. Beer.
Oh, she gave the dog beer?
Beer. And I said to my kids, you stay here. I have to go talk to that lady. And they're like, Mom, are you sure? And yes, I'm sure. This is it. Beer at the beach. The poor dog's deep. She's like, well, he drank it. Of course he drank it. You gave him no water. This is a tiny little... Oh, Dr. Carol, you just got to help me out here. Why is this wrong? This is so wrong.
Well, first of all, pets shouldn't drink alcohol or beer. Both are potentially very, very toxic. And yes, it's been hot. We've not enjoyed back here in the States all the beautiful sunny days, but I can tell you it's been raining here like crazy. And in between the rain, it has been so hot and so humid that not only the pets, but even the people, some of them are looking like they're approaching heat stroke. And that's a valid consideration because a lot of pet owners don't realize that on a hot day, you know, 75, 85 plus degrees, your dog in general is already walking around with a mink coat on, unlike yourself that's probably walking around in, you know, shorts and a t-shirt. And the other thing to remember is not only are they walking around with a fur coat, but they are not able to efficiently sweat like you and I do. They have to open their mouth and pant in order to lose heat. So pets are extremely susceptible to heat stroke. Furthermore, breeds with the little pushed-in faces, like the Pekingese, the Pugs, and the Boston Terriers, for example, along with the very young and the very old, are at the greatest risk, and that's because these brachiocephalic breeds already have a compromised respiratory system. Now, if you...
I want to ask you right here, okay, the very old and the very young, this is key to me. People have to understand, when your Dalmatian was 7 and he went running with you, he might have been okay in the middle of the day in the summer. Maybe. Probably would have been better for him even then to run in the early part of the day or the late part. But when he's 10 or 11, don't take him. He will have a stroke. It's bad.
That's exactly right. And I see this all the time just right in our local little Chagrin Falls village. You see pet owners, and I know that they mean well, and they've got their dogs on a leash and they're walking far ahead of the dog. But what they don't do is turn around and actually look at the dog who's standing there open mouth panting and their tongues are turning purple because they are ready to have a stroke. So the key to that is when it's hot out and you want to go outside and enjoy the weather, et cetera, with your dog, go out in the early morning before the peak heat of the sun. Go out in the early afternoon once the sun has set. And keep an eye on your dog. If your dog's pace starts at one pace and then it gets slower and slower, that dog is telling you that he's getting tired. If the dog stops and sits down, that's another way of saying, Mom, you know, I've had enough. And especially in these very young and very old in particular dogs, look at their mouth. If their mouth is open and they are panting, they've had enough. Pick them up in your arms or stop, give them some water, let them rest and relax, and then get them home. But as far as the walk or the run or the jog, that's their way of telling you, hey, this is fun, but I'm tired. I've had enough. Pets like people.
And some will fake it. That's what I think people do. Well, he wanted to go. Of course he wanted to go.
Right. They all want to go. But pets are just like people. pets need to get in shape gradually, a little bit at a time. You're not going to sit on the sofa, every day and then jump off the couch and take a 10-mile hike the next day, or you're going to pay the piper. Well, your pet is no different. So if you are going to take a big hike or you've got an adventure coming up and you want to get your dog in shape, then be logical. Get your dog in shape just like you get yourself in shape, gradually, a little bit at a time, a little bit more each day, gauging your pet's pace, activity level, attitude, and most importantly, turn around and actually look at your pet. Mm-hmm. If you see that mouth open, he's panting, he's trying to lose heat, stop and let him relax. And for people that do find their pet, having a heat stroke, what you need is quick action. Once the body temperature reaches and or exceeds 106 degrees Fahrenheit or 41 degrees centigrade for you Canadians, remember that if untreated, heat stroke leads to kidney failure, anemia, and shock, which can ultimately be fatal. So, Deb, what do? You see that your dog is really, really hot. How do you get that dog cooled down? Well, first of all, bring him or her inside.
Shade, if you're outside and you can't get inside. And water, right?
Shade and water. If you're lucky enough to be, let's say, by your home and you can take your pet and put him or her in a bathtub, you want to soak the whole pet down in cool water, including the head. And then you want to offer some cool fluids. Even just water is perfectly fine. You want to take the rectal temperature, knowing that normal rectal temperature in a dog, 101.5 degrees Fahrenheit or 38.6 degrees centigrade. Then call your veterinarian. What you want to do every 15 minutes, take your dog's rectal temperature, shake it down to 96, hold it against the side of the rectum for about 30 seconds, and then pull it out, obviously, and read it. When it decreases to less than 103 degrees Fahrenheit or less than 39.4 degrees centigrade, then you can take your dog out of the water. You may call your veterinarian again, go ahead and take a ride over to see your vet, and he'll make a determination as far as giving your pet more fluids, subcutaneous fluids, just under the skin, and check your dog out to make sure that nothing
Dr. Carroll, can they not use an ear thermometer? Do they have to go through the bum? I know dogs don't give a hoot, but people do. People don't like to do the bum check.
You can use a thermometer any way you like to. The important thing is simply to use it. So what are the signs of heat stroke? Open mouth. The mouth is open, excessively panting. They're getting restless and distressed. They start to drool. Eventually, they'll become unsteady on their feet, looking a little bit ataxic, if you will. And their gums and their tongue are going to be bright, bright red. And as you and I both know, the gums should be several shades lighter than the tongue normally being a brick red kind of color.
Well, you know
the
what?
Gums, light pink.
Dr. Carroll, we have to go to commercial break. When we come back, we're going to tell you how you can check, how you can press and where and how you know if you're in trouble there and other things you have to worry about with the heat, because we've just barely touched the surface here. Surface is another thing I want to talk about, burning their foot pads. So stay tuned. We'll be back to talk more with Dr. Carroll on Smart Animal Talk.
And anytime you're near.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Our dogs are part of our family, an integral part of our lives, providing comfort, exercise, and companionship. All too often, however, this relationship is tested through dog naughtiness and general poor behavior. Our dog does not come when cold. He digs the garden and many other issues that create frustration and a break in the relationship we seek. You love him, but you don't like him. Today's e-callers, remote trainers, have been developed to help you train your dog and overcome these issues that can result in separation from the family and worse. E-collar technology has been developed to help the everyday dog owner. Collars that set limit on the levels of stimulation and therefore limiting mistakes. If you seek a training aid that will assist you overcome the unwanted issues, e-collar technology products have developed dog training technology for the modern world that uses the lowest levels of distractive stimulus to improve behavior and reduce stress. www.ecollar.com. That's www.ecollar.com.
Hello, we're back on Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and I'm having a good time today. So we're back and we're talking about the heat. I love talking about the heat. I live in the rainforest. We haven't had rain for a whole month. It's beautiful. So Dr. Carol, you talked about younger dogs and older dogs. Is it just my impression, or is it actually true that the tiny, tiny ones and the really, really huge ones also take the heat harder?
Absolutely, because of their size and of their age, you have to remember, the very young, the very old, the very huge, they have a degree of immune compromise. They're not totally up to par. So when you're a little baby or when you're an elderly, it's just like a person. You have to be more careful about many things because your immunity is not up to par. Therefore, your body is more susceptible to whatever may come down the pike. In this case, we're talking about excessive heat. You know, if you put your dog in the car and let's say, you know, run in to get some groceries for a few minutes, if it's 85 outside when you run in the store, when you get done shopping, less than 30 minutes later, what do you think the temperature is inside that car, Deborah?
Oh, I don't know, 130, something like that.
Very close. Up to at least 120.
Yeah.
So the temperature, in the car, it gets hot and it gets hot.
You wouldn't leave ice cream. You wouldn't leave milk. What are you doing leaving a living thing?
Well, that's exactly correct. And a little tip, if you do find yourself in a position with a dog suffering from heat stroke, there's a little homeopathic remedy. It's called Glonine. The dose is 30 C. Two pellets on the tongue while you're on the way to your veterinarian can help to bring a bit of relief if your dog is suffering from heat stroke. And, you know, Deb, every year we offer these recommendations, tips, and suggestions, and yet every year many, many dogs die from being left in parked cars on
hot summer days. Oh, and children. There's already been children this year. I mean, it's just nuts. And you know what else? The dog in the back of the pickup. I see it all the time. Usually I'm upset because he could get flung into traffic. He could become a hazard in a car, you know, fender bender that would have been nothing. He could become a lethal object flown at someone. But also for the dog's sake, I think it's just terrible. Even the most minor accident could result in his death. And no matter how well trained he is, he's not going to survive an accident with training. But you know, I mean, it's ridiculous what people, oh, he's really well trained. Yeah, tell me that when he's underneath somebody else's car, you know.
But
not really. But it's also the sun. I think people think because it's windy and the dog is like, you know, nose to the wind, looking cool dog in the back of the truck, like, you know, he looks great, right? He's still totally exposed to the sun.
Well, not only is he totally exposed to the sun, his eyes, if you will, are also exposed to everything that wind brings with it. So you're very prone to eye injuries. If you have to make a quick stop or, you know, forbid you get into an accident, a lot of those dogs just fly right out of the back end of that pickup. So I know it's fun, but it also carries several significant health risks worth a second thought
when it comes to the safety
of your dog.
When we were talking before about jogging with your dog or going for a walk with your dog or just noticing your dog when you're out with them because maybe it's too much for them, something I want to point out is if your dog is pulling and it's normally not a puller, make sure. I mean, if it's pulling to the shade, that's what it needs. You need to give, you know, walk where you've got sun and it's got shade, or walk in the shade, or set your beach blanket up where it has shade and you have sun, or bring an umbrella for the dog. I mean, there's lots of things you can do. But a dog would never, ever, a wolf, a coyote, they would never choose to go sunbathe on a beach at noon. This just isn't their thing. And so if you're going to do that and bring them with you, you got to give them shade. There's just no two ways about it. And posture. You know, you talked about noticing if your dog's kind of panting. If your dog's normally a sort of perky, prancy kind of dog, and all of a sudden he's dragging his butt like he just doesn't. He's exhausted, guys. Turn around. Go home.
Right. And it doesn't even have to be dramatic like that, Deb. You know, when you're walking, you have a certain pace. Usually the dog has a certain pace. You need to be sensitive and alert and observant that when your dog's pace changes, don't just keep dragging your dog. I see people doing this on a daily basis, and they mean well. They just don't think about it. And so think about your dog when he's on the end of that leash, because he's got to survive too. And depending on the weather, you know, it's too hot, call it a day, go home, get some shade, have a cool drink, and share it with your dog.
Oh, I want to ask you about that. I've heard if your dog has diarrhea, or if your dog you think has had a little too much sun, not to the point where you have to go to the vet, but you think maybe he's got a little too much sun, a little too hot, that you should give him Gatorade or some kind of athletic drink. Is that true, or is that bad for him?
No, absolutely. Gatorade is great. It's got all kinds of nice electrolytes in it. It's got a good flavor, and most dogs enjoy it. Yes, it's perfectly fine.
Okay.
Not beer, but Gatorade is great. And for those of you that might be mountain climbers, or, you know, looking to go on a really extensive hike with your pet, remember, not only does your pet have to get conditioned physically, but you're also going to have to deal with toughening up those foot pads. Because those foot pads can get torn, snagged on a rock, on something sharp, and then you're in the middle of a hike with a big paw injury and a dog that you may end up having to carry back. So how can you toughen up those foot pads? Well, it's actually quite simple. You just steep a solution of tea, just regular old drinking tea, and get yourself a tiny little paintbrush or a cloth, and just take the steeped tea and once a day, just paint it on your dog's foot pads. And after about 10 days, those foot pads will be very tough, tough enough in most cases to do the rock climbing and enjoy the hike and not have to suffer with foot pad injuries.
That is really cool. Also, while we're on feet, feel the pavement. If your dog doesn't want to go with yours dragging behind, or if it's really hot, you know, maybe it's because you're wearing shoes. If you were barefoot, you wouldn't want to walk there either.
Exactly.
Maybe it's super smoking hot. We only have 1 minute left, Dr. Carol. I know you like to give out your contact information. So how can they get a hold of you?
I do indeed. I'm Dr. Carol Osborne. We welcome pet questions. We offer pet health consultations for dogs and cats. Give us a call toll-free at 1-866-DR-CAROL, which is 866-372-2765, or visit us online at carolonpets.com. And Deborah, next week, I'd like to share a little tip for hikers or mountain climbers. If you've got a dog with a foot pad injury, I've got a great little tip on how you can repair that injury right on the spot.
Well, you know what, Dr. Carol, if you could stay with me, we could just stick in one more little segment. Do you think you can?
Absolutely.
All right, stay tuned, everybody. We're going to cover that and a first aid kit. I got some suggestions for you if you're going traveling with dogs. Stay tuned to All Paws Pet Talk, Smart Animal Talk with Deb Wolf and Dr. Carol.
I'm your doggy, and I love you, and you know that I really do.
Attention all pet lovers. Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Paws and Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Paws and Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust mites and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Paws and Silk website at pawsandsilk.com to learn more about Paws and Silk and their incredible products. That's PAWSNSILK.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pawsandsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand. A true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Talk Radio. We're so smart, we managed to fit in an extra little segment with Dr. Carol.
Yes,
Dr. Carol, I'm thinking we're just overachievers today. We're like border collies. We're like Abyssinians. We just do every trick you put in front of us. We just can't be stopped. What's the horse that's the overachiever?
What's the horse that's the overachiever? Mm-hmm. Golly, it'd have to be the Arabian, right?
Would it? An Arabian in a storm is a freaking nightmare, I found. But I guess in calm weather, really? Is that the overachiever?
Well, the Arabian is the endurance, you know, that they gallop for miles in the desert, and, you know, they're impervious to just about everything that could affect a normal horse.
They look so beautiful. They do.
Very beautiful.
They just look so beautiful. It's like when you think of horse, that's kind of what you think of. It's just very, with that taut neck and everything.
Yes, very beautiful, very high strung, very neurotic, and very high maintenance.
So a quarter horse is more like the golden retriever.
The
works hard
horse,
every day, happy
yeah.
to be there. We'll
right.
take a kid and not run it through the ringer just because it might be a storm coming tomorrow.
Calm, okay. low key, lots of common sense, and they last forever. Very, very sturdy, durable. Low cost, low keepers, easy keepers, low cost, easy keepers. Quarter horses are great. My first horse was 3/4 a quarter horse and 1/4 thoroughbred, and he had 2 left white socks, so we called him Southpaws.
Nice.
He was the love of my life when I was 9.
I bet he loved you back.
He did indeed. And although I never took him mountain climbing, I wanted to share a little tip with you for hikers or mountain climbers that are out there with their canines, and lo and behold, you end up with a foot pad injury, roughed up, the foot pads become a mess, they start bleeding, whatever it might be. Here's what you can do. First of all, just clean them up using that little first aid kit that you take along with you on your hike. And then have some leather, the double-sided leather, where it's the smooth on the one side with the nappy stuff on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
And what you want to do is you want to cut the leather to the exact shape and size of the foot pad or foot pads that happen to be injured. And then what you want to do is just get some crazy glue.
And seriously. So you got to make sure it's clean first, right? Like super, super, super clean, right?
Yeah, you want to wipe it off with a little bit of alcohol if you have that in your little first aid kit, and just blot it dry. Cut your leather, get out your super glue, and what you want to do is put a few drops of super glue on the fuzzy side of the leather. Enough so that you can stick it to the foot pad. Just hold it down for about a minute. It'll stick really well. Make sure all the edges are on there. What will happen is those will stay on, and they will gradually peel off as the foot pad underneath heals. So
that's amazing. I wish I'd known that years ago. Yeah, oh, my goodness. Because once they get injured, it just keeps getting re-injured and re-injured and torn, and you can't seem to ever toughen them up. I've had this with Dobermans when I lived in Ontario, and I used to be a trainer there, and it was the ice. They would run in the snow and the ice, and they would cut their paws, and they had this amazing pain tolerance. You couldn't get them in. They'd be bleeding all over the backyard. They wouldn't come in. They'd just be racing around, la, 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 you know, with cut paws. It was just so hard to deal with. There was this Dobie kennel I used to help out at. And, Doberman pincers, which are also overachievers, by the way.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, nowadays, you know, they make all kinds of great footwear for dogs. So if you're going to mountain climb or hike or whatever it is, you know, find a pair that work for your dog and just throw them in your knapsack.
Okay, so let's talk about the first aid kit. I guess I'll let you go first and, you know, maybe throw in a couple things if I need to. What should people be taking with them up the mountain or out to the lake or on the boat? I mean, dogs are hairy creatures, so you definitely need a razor in there and a muzzle, right?
A razor and a muzzle and a pair of scissors, along with a thermometer, a little bit of gauze, a little bit of first aid ointment, even if it's, the over-the-counter, oh, gosh, what's that stuff called?
Polysporin.
Yeah, the Neosporin or the Polysporin, a little bit of that, a couple of other things, some wraps, some gauze in case there's an injury. As far as medications, Box Rescue Remedy is great. A few drops in the water on the pressure points, like the throat or behind the ears, a great way to calm the dog and to relieve stress. Arnica Montana. You can get that as a pellet or as a liquid. Two pellets on the tongue every 15 minutes are great for muscle trauma and muscle injuries. For bleeding, a styptic powder is very useful to stop bleeding caused by torn toenails. What if you get into something and you need to induce vomiting? Hydrogen peroxide is one way to do it. Another way to do it that might be more conventional, syrup of ipecac, 1 teaspoon, which is 5 mL per 10 pounds of body weight, or in Canada, 4.5 kilograms, will induce vomiting so that if they got into something bad, you can get it out of their tummy.
Okay, I'd like to say add a magazine. I think you said magazine, but that's so you can use it as a splint if you need to. And add a blanket so that you can use it as a stretcher if you need to. Throw in some old socks to help keep the bandages on, whatever, take extra bandages. And what about Benadryl in case of bee sting?
A little bit of 25 milligram Benadryl in a tablet or a liquid is excellent. And something for the eyes like artificial tears, for example, just a solution that will soothe and flush the eyes should that be necessary.
And I like onions. Have you ever noticed if you have a bee sting, you can just rub onion on it, takes away the pain, like quick, really fast, especially for kids and dogs.
You can use an onion. That's one way to do it. The other way to do it, you know, give your dog with a bee sting some Benadryl if you happen to have it on hand. And you can make a paste out of baking soda and water, make it kind of thick, and just slosh it right over the bee sting, and that will neutralize the venom and make it feel better. You can also put a drop of witch hazel directly on the lesion, and that will help as well.
I've also heard, I've not tried this, but I've also heard cigarettes. If you break open a cigarette and you put tobacco on a bee sting, it's supposed to help. It's probably the only use of tobacco I'd ever contemplate, but there you go. Something I can do with tobacco.
Well, that's a new one for me. I haven't heard that before, but now I know something that I didn't know before. And remember, if you're out west, remember they've got a lot of snakes. So if that's where you're going to be, make sure that you get yourself a little snake venom kit. And what you want to do is you want to get the kind that uses suction to remove the venom so that you don't have to try to suck that out with your
own mouth. Looks better in the movies. Okay, everybody, we're done on Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio with Dr. Carol and Deb. We've run out of time, Dr. Carol. We're going to have to continue next week.
We are. And remember, if your dog gets a snake bite, don't put ice on the wound. That makes the venom spread more quickly. Keep the dog quiet and try not to move him around. That's what you need to know about snake bites if you're out west on a hike.
Okay. Wow, that's a scary thought. All right, everybody. Well, until next week, be good to your animals. From Smart Animal Talk and Deb Wolf on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And Dr. Carol, too, will be back again for you next week. Send us your questions to All Paws Pet Talk, and we'll answer them.